Good morning. Today we get to read God's word together. We're reading from Luke 2, verses 1 to 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Thank you.
Friends, good morning. Firstly, what a powerful item, what a powerful video to take us to Jesus, who is the light of the world. Friends, Christmas, for many of us, is a beautiful time of year, a time of light and a time of hope. We sing carols, we jump on jumping castles, we ride ponies, we eat food. We go to the city to celebrate and walk around our city lights. We go to the beaches and we exchange gifts. We eat way too much and we often go on holidays. And yet Christmas is also a difficult time of year. A time of darkness and despair, war and death in Ukraine, devastation and death in Gaza, civil war in Sudan. And it continues, civil war in Myanmar, violent crimes and kidnappings and terrorist attacks in Nigeria, a recent earthquake in Vanuatu. And in our own country, families are divided, marriages sadly dissolve, domestic violence and sexual assault are commonplace. Brokenness, sorrow, and dysfunction is everywhere. Anxiety is crippling. Sometimes the darkness is overwhelming. And so we come together today to remember the Saviour, Jesus, the light of the world, who breaks into a dark world, breaks into the darkness of our own hearts to offer us forgiveness, hope, and a future. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The people of Jesus' day, 2,000 years ago, were waiting for God's King and Saviour, a humble King, a servant King, who would bring light, hope, and salvation to the nations. And that hope we've heard about out of the Bible reading, out of the songs this morning, the hope would come through a child, the prophet Isaiah said in chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. It was a dark time for the people of God in the Old Testament. God was going to punish his own people, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom by exile. He was going to punish them by foreign powers because of their apostasy. They served other gods because of their immorality, because of their injustice and unrighteousness. It was going to be a tough day for that people. Yet the prophet Isaiah, under God's instruction, said there's going to be a good day to follow that. He preaches that there is still hope. God would one day restore his kingdom. He would do it through the birth of a child. There would be an ideal king who would bring an end to all wars and establish an eternal kingdom based on justice and righteousness. And it begins in verses 2 and 3 about the Messiah arriving, the light coming and bringing joy. That's why our theme this year has been "The Light Has Come." We're looking forward to that promise being fulfilled in Jesus. People walking in darkness have seen a great light. For on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. In the midst of the darkness, something has brought life and light. And as a result, they will increase their joy. They will rejoice before, people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. When this light comes, there's going to be joyous celebrations. We got a glimpse of that in the shepherds. We'll come back to them. Did you get that? When the Messiah comes, when the light breaks through, he brings great joy, abundant joy, outrageous joy. It's a huge celebration. Eat well this Christmas. Celebrate, sing, talk, because Christ brings outrageous joy. He also brings the end to war, he says in verses 4 to 5. The Messiah will bring freedom from oppression and an end to warfare. And he will do it through a royal child. These famous verses, verse 6 and 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Of the increase of his government, you see, he's going to be in charge. And peace, there'll be no end. There's a future day when all will be made right. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. It won't be like it was in the past. Evil dictators will not get away with what they're getting away with. Terrorists will not get away with what they're getting away with. One day, he will uphold it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this, he says. This royal child will be human and divine. Get that right from Isaiah chapter 9. It is God humbling himself, stepping into human history to be our Lord and our Saviour. It's the ultimate fulfillment of the Emmanuel sign in chapter 7 of Isaiah. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. We'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When we say, "O come Emmanuel," we're saying, "Come God, you are God with us." He'll be called Wonderful Counselor. He gives great advice and wisdom. If you want to listen to someone in this day, who do you listen to? The Wonderful Counselor, who is Jesus. He'll be Mighty God. He's not human. He's just not just a prophet. He's not just a good man. He's not just a healer. He is Mighty God. Everlasting Father. The kings of the day saw themselves as a father over the people. Not this king. He'll be more than that. He'll be the Everlasting Father, the Eternal Father. And he is a Prince of Peace. You know, some religious leaders have carried weapons to win people over. They've gone to war to win people over. Not Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. He calls people to love and follow him, not with weapons, not by force, but by willing submission. He brings peace between God and man, and he brings peace between men and men, women and women, men and women. He is a peacemaker. And he has an eternal kingship of the greatness of his government peace. There will be no end. Later on, from that time on and forever. It's an eternal nature to his kingship. Friends, we had a temporary glimpse of the type of peace that Christ will bring in the middle of World War I, exactly 110 years ago. It was called the Silent Night of World War I. It was Christmas Eve, 1914. A remarkable thing took place in the middle of the war. Men on both sides of the trenches, the English and the French on one side and the Germans on the other, laid down their arms. They stopped shooting at one another. It was Christmas Eve. A call had been put out to cease hostilities. Men who at one moment were shooting one another put down their arms. They were celebrating Christmas. There was something in the person of Jesus that made them stop. How can we kill one another when a Savior, the Prince of Peace, has been born? Germans placed candlelit Christmas trees on trench parapets. Warring soldiers sang carols, and men on both sides shared food parcels from home. They climbed from the trenches to meet in no man's land, in the middle where they buried the dead, exchanged gifts with one another. They ate and drank together and even played football. Of course they played football. But sadly, soon afterwards, the war continued and there was no peace. There was death and destruction. And that type of warring continues throughout our world today. At a carol service to commemorate that silent night of World War I, Prince Philip Kirill of Prussia, the great-great-grandson of Germany's Kaiser Wilhelm II, he recounted his relative's actions, a decision which cost millions of lives over the following 4 years. There was a carol celebration. It was a Christmas celebration where they all gathered together to remember that time of peace 100 years earlier. He said, "My great-great-grandfather believed in God, but he didn't have the courage to tell those who wanted war to go away. I'm here to ask for forgiveness for his weakness, for the inaction and action of my relative. Here I stand to ask you, could you forgive that sin, please?" The entire audience then stood and clapped for over a minute. The clapping continued. A minute is a long time of clapping. The crowd stood up because where there had been war, there was now a talk of peace and forgiveness and reconciliation that only Christ can bring. They clapped. One person said, "I want to express my thanks to Prince Philip for coming, for his message of peace and forgiveness. It was the most moving service my family has ever attended." Someone said, "It was the most moving carol services I've ever been to." And the first one was in Bethlehem. The angels singing, the shepherds rejoicing. The silent night of World War I. The crowds left. Football fans, church members from across South London remembered the peace that Christ can bring when we take him seriously. But friends, as we move into the New Testament, we see that Jesus fulfills that Old Testament hope. He is the light. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, that's John the Baptist, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, note where he lives, which was like by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Jesus, the baby born at Christmas, is the great light. Jesus, the baby born at Christmas, is the child referred to in Isaiah 9. Jesus, the baby born at Christmas, is the great king. He is the one who makes a way into his kingdom. Friends, an outrageous act of love took place on Christmas morning. God became human to bring us ultimate joy. He will be called Emmanuel, God with us. It's outrageous. It's unbelievable. It's extreme love by the God of the universe. Charles Spurgeon, a leader from the past, described it this way. See if you can pick up the tension. He is infinite and yet an infant. He is eternal, yet born of a woman. He is almighty, yet hanging on a woman's breasts. He is supporting a universe, yet needing to be carried in a mother's arms. He is the king of angels, yet the reputed son of an ordinary man, Joseph. He is the heir of all things belong to him, yet the carpenter's despised son, Emmanuel, God with us. The light has come. God has stepped into human history to bring us hope and joy and peace and love and forgiveness and life. It is any wonder that the shepherds were frightened when God appeared to them, because God does the miraculous and the unexpected. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. You see, the shepherds are the nobodies of their society. They're not the famous ones. They're not the special ones. They are the nobodies. And God comes to the nobodies. If you think you're not important, God comes for you. I'm a nobody. I'm a son of a migrant family who came with no money to this country. I'm a nobody. God comes to the nobodies and he makes us something. He came to the shepherds who were nobodies. And he brings a message. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. The angel said, "Do not be afraid. Stop. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Do not be afraid, my friends," he says to the shepherds. You may be a nobody, but God is speaking to you. God has a message for you. God wants to change your lives. I want to say to you today, it's a message for us. Don't be afraid. When the unexpected happens, interest rates rise, an illness suddenly hits your family, a death unexpected, a loss of a job, a flood destroys your town. Do not be afraid. God is good and loving. Trust him. It's good news, he says. Don't be afraid, because I bring you good news. See, the gospel, the message that we are celebrating today, is not bad news. It doesn't take away your life. It gives you abundant life. It's celebrated. Believe it. Share it with others. It brings joy to all the people. I love that. Don't be afraid. It's good news. God wants to bring you joy. He wants to give you a relationship with God and transform your life. You see, Jesus had a special name as well as Emmanuel. Says in Matthew 1, "She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Jesus means God brings salvation. Right? God is salvation. And God knows that there is darkness in the world. There is darkness in all of us. We're all sinners. We all need forgiveness. We've all turned from God. So God says, "I will go all the way from heaven to earth for you." You ever wonder whether God loves you? I don't know, you look at your life, things aren't going too well. Maybe relationships are not working. You haven't really progressed. You got a bit older and you think, "Well, I thought by the age of 50 I would have achieved all these things, and I haven't even achieved half of those things." Or maybe you're going to be 25, you think, 27, you think, "I would have been married by now and I've settled down with a house," and you think, "Man, I don't have any of that." And you think, "Is there more to life?" There is. There's relationship with God, there's forgiveness, there's reconciliation, there's ultimate meaning and purpose. The child who was born will give his life for us all. Christ died for sins, once for all, the righteous, the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Does God love you? Does your life matter? Absolutely it matters. Where he left heaven to come to earth for you. Friends, about 10 years ago, I was speaking to an uncle. He was 87 years old. Stubborn older guy, and always mocked my faith. And some other Christian friends said he'd mock them too. I said, "I've got a crazy nephew just like you," he used to say to people. We'd laugh with him because I was a pastor. So I went to visit him on his deathbed in a nursing home. My dad said, "Oh, Uncle Arthur doesn't have long to live." So we went to visit him. And he started to talk. He wanted to talk about his life and tell me about his life. But he told me he didn't believe in God. I said, "You've been mocking me for a long time." "Yeah, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist." He didn't believe that Jesus was God's son. He didn't believe he needed a saviour. See, the light had come into the world, but some people prefer the darkness. They just want to live in sort of meaningless existence. Refuse to come to the light. Died unforgiven. Met God, would have to give an account of his life. A few weeks later, it was interesting, I met a woman, or in fact, I didn't just meet her, I baptized a woman who was also 87. Here's my uncle on one hand, 87, who died an atheist, stayed in the darkness. There's another woman who became a Christian later in her life in the mid-80s. At 87, I baptized her just over here. No, it wasn't over here. Couldn't get her in here. We baptized her in a pool, in a backyard swimming pool. She came out of the darkness. She questioned God most of her life because of the terrible things that had happened to her, to some of her family. She questioned God. As she opened herself up, as her daughter prayed, as people prayed for her, she saw that Christ was the light of the world who could make a difference. And she came to Christ and she wanted to be baptized. We found that swimming pool and the joy of getting into the pool. I was really thankful we got her back out of the pool. Come out of the darkness into the light of Jesus. Let the light of Christ break into your life. It's never too late. I mean, pushing Christ out, blocking off the light of his life and death and forgiveness. No, I don't want to see it. I don't want it. But friends, eternity matters. We must be ready for Christ. But you also may be asking today, if the light has come, if Christ is king, why hasn't war ended? Why does oppression persist? Why do terrorists still kill? Why does cancer take our loved ones? Did Jesus work at all? Good question. The answer is because the end has not yet come. Christ comes in two phases. He comes once, 2,000 years ago, to pay the price for our sins so we can be reconciled with God. But he will come a second time, we call the second coming. We live between the first and the second comings of Jesus. We're called now to live for Jesus and tell other people about him. But on the final day, he'll bring death and judgment. But he does say that at that second coming, all those who believe in him will live forever with him. And he says this in the book of Revelation. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling is now among the people and he will dwell with them. It's a fellowship now with God and mankind. They'll be his people and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. The second coming is coming. We live between the two comings. We need to be ready for that second coming when God will make all things right. Let me conclude with a story told by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Thinking about living in a dark place, he was a Lutheran pastor in Nazi Germany. He opposed the Nazis. As a result of that, he was executed by the Nazis just before the end of World War II. Spending a lot of his time in a dark cell, he writes this: life in a dark prison cell. I think that is a great way to think about the situation of humanity. Before Jesus came, there was only a sliver of light entering the cell through the bottom of the door. People were living in great darkness without the possibility of escape. But then one day, Christmas Day, the door was opened from the outside. Jesus came into the cell. He lived with those inside in the midst of their darkness. He told them about a new world that was outside that they could experience if they would only follow him out the door. He told them that it was infinitely better than anything they'd ever experienced up until that point. Some listened and trusted, he says, but others kicked him out of the cell. They were used to the darkness and were content with it. They become so used to living in that cell, they couldn't imagine anything better awaiting them elsewhere. After Jesus was kicked out of the cell, some of the people who trusted him followed the path to the way out with Jesus. These followers of Jesus discovered a new world outside of the darkness of the cell, a world full of light and peace and love and faith and hope and joy. And having experienced it, they ran back into the cell to tell the others the good news. They told the others inside that they should trust the Jesus guy who came and opened up the cell door and follow his path out the door into the light. They were witnesses to the light, the amazing light that came along with it. And while many people did follow them out, many chose to remain in the dark cell, a cell that they'd grown used to, a cell that their eyes had adjusted to. He said, this cell is like the world we continue to live in. And the church is that body of messengers who constantly return to the cell by the power of the Holy Spirit to let others know that they can be free from darkness because of God's great gift to them. The light has come. Do you want to leave that cell of darkness? Do you want to leave it? The door has been opened. The light has come. Jesus offers not darkness, but light, life, hope, forgiveness, joy, transformation, eternity. Do you want to leave it? Many of you have already left that dark cell. You're followers of Jesus. But if you haven't yet left that dark cell, become followers of Jesus, it's time. Maybe it's time for you. Say, God, I want to make peace with you today. I want to be right with you. I try to live my life my own way, doing my own thing, but it's not ultimately satisfying. There's got to be more to life than what I'm living. If that's you, God is willing to receive you. Put your faith in him. Repent of your sins. Invite him to be Lord and Savior. You know, the Bible says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. It is my prayer that each of us will worship and follow Jesus this Christmas. The light has come. The light changes everything. And friends, if you wanted to know more about Jesus, we're happy to chat to people afterwards or during this coming year. But also in the foyer on the book stall area just to the left, you'll find some resources, The Joy to All People. That's a beautiful little booklet. It's just the Gospel of Luke, one account of the life of Jesus. Nice, take it with you, put on your coffee table, have a read through the life of Jesus. And we have a little booklet called The Real Christmas. What does it all mean? And we don't have Why Christmas, we ran out of those. We have some kids' books as well there if you want to take something for your children. We'd love for you to keep exploring this great Jesus who is Emmanuel, God with us, who is called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins, who changes everything. God bless you. Have a happy Christmas. God bless you in the new year. Amen.